Off they go. Good morning, everybody. Even though I stand up in front of people with work all the time, I am a little bit nervous. There's a lot of you today. but I'm just thankful to Mark because he dealt with my printing errors this morning, the paper jams and all sorts. So he dealt with all that stress for me so I could just float along in a happy bubble. Thank you, babes. And then also you should thank him because he told me not to just have bullet points because he knows me and I'll be who knows where we would end up. So write it down. Yeah, thank you. Okay, let me pray first to start. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to share from your word and to share your work in my life. Thank you for this church family. I pray that you would encourage and fill each one of us by your spirit, that you would speak to the heart of each one here, me included, that we would hear not my words, but your loving voice, and you would draw us closer to walking the narrow path with you. Amen. So I am going to be reading to you so I don't go off on a tangent, so sorry for that, but hopefully you'll be able to follow along. So when I was asked to speak about a Bible verse today that's helped, encouraged or excited me, I thought, don't know about that. Actually, I think I said no, but Steve then said, why not? And I didn't have a good enough answer, so here I am. There are many verses that I could have chosen from. I also thought, I don't know about this, because it makes me feel a bit guilty, in honesty, because the Bible is God's living word. I need it as daily bread. But honestly, I live a bit more like feast and famine when it comes to spending time reading God's word. So I have actually been blessed by this challenge for me to be here today, because it's drawn me more into time in God's word this last couple of weeks and pondering on verses that have been alive to me through the last 22 years as a Christian and still encourage me today. But my main verse to focus on this morning is from Romans 12, verse 2, which says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." And that was the one that I felt I should focus on today. So here we are. And I love it because it reminds us that we are not of the world. And we need that reminder. We're not to conform. We are supposed to be different. And that encourages me. I love that we're reminded that we need an ongoing renewal because that excites me. It's both spiritual and practical. It's helpful for me as I can be a little bit lofty. And it tells us, don't do that, do this instead. So after verse 2, it then goes on to say, and then these are the ways that you should serve, recognising using your individual gifts together and living out love in action. So that sounds good. So there are three main things I wanted to share in relation to this verse. How important other Christians are and living in close community together is in our transformation. How important reading our Bible is to have the right view of God for our transformation. And how important it is to know your identity in Christ and move on with messing up so that you don't dive deeper into the world, but come straight back to God. So does that sound okay? Good, that's me done. Lovely. No, I'm joking. Okay, so we must offer ourselves to God, choose to be transformed, choose not to conform to the world. Before I became a Christian, I would seek identity and validation in lots of worldly ways. And I recognise, looking back, the main ones being my work and my relationships. And yes, God transformed me. I saw a big difference in my thoughts, my behaviour, my identity from, you know, before when I was just 21 and then afterwards, of course, in my new life. But it isn't a one and done process, we all know. We all know that we are being transformed. So I still find myself conforming to the patterns of the world, seeking validation from worldly things, my job or jobs. I can be a bit of a work addict, my poor husband will not deny. And my relationships, finding value or lack of it in how others view me. So seeking to please people instead of God. But I've found it clear that whenever I'm close to God, these things change, of course. I know that the times I've been closest to God and most transformed by him are, one, times when it's been hard, when I've been sad, when I've felt desperate. Two, times when I've messed up a lot. And three, the periods in my life when I've spent more time in prayer, in worship, and in reading his word. Amen. In hard times, I'm wanting God and seeking him harder. When I spend time in prayer and worship and reading his word and being with him, he draws me away from the worldly pursuits and more into his presence. like the hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. God speaks to me in times of prayer. He speaks to me in times of musical worship. I can be out of this world to be lost in praise. He speaks to me through other people, through the words that they say to me, through their lives and how they live. And God speaks to me through creation. I remember one night when I was in New Zealand and I lay awake most of the night in amazement of the view of the stars. I'd never been so amazed and just in awe. It was insane, really. It felt unreal. I was in tears of just feeling so insignificant, but also so significant to him all at once. And I'll never forget it. Anytime there's a clear night sky, you know, I always want to go and look because I'd like just to remember that. And it's not as good here, but, you know, this guy, but never mind. One of my favourite songs is So Will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I love that. But God does speak to me predominantly through his word. So it's a bit silly, really, that that's probably the smallest part of how he speaks to me, because I know that that is the predominant way that he speaks into my life. He tells me who he is. He tells me who I am. He tells me how to live. He shows us to be holy, to be set apart for him. Interesting, then, that it's often when planning or trying to read my Bible that I'll feel the most tired, the most distracted, the most needed elsewhere. There's way more important things that need to be done. The devil knows it and likes, it's kind of like me putting the sweets above the microwave in our kitchen so the kids can't get to it easily. You know, that's what Satan does, I think, with the word for me, like, you know, trying to steal it. But let's say no to that, if you can, you know, understand where I am with that. We've got a step that we can stand on to reach above the microwave. We'll stand on it. We'll stand on Satan, actually, and we'll reach the sweets, reach the word of God. And I need reminding from that truth to do that and know more of who he is. I know what a friend I have in Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus, but some earthly friends will have been absent or hurt us. I know that God loves me as a father, that I'm his child, but my earthly experience of my dad was violence and abuse, not love or protection. I could go on. We will all have our own stories to insert there as to why, if we go on conforming to the ways of the world, our views of God will be from earthly perspectives and unhelpful to us. But God is perfect. And in coming close to him, spending time in his word and in his presence, we're transformed from these earthly perspectives of the characters of who he is and of who we are. And I know he is only a good father, a loving saviour and a perfect friend. I want us all to be reminded of that. And often, for it is powerful and it transforms us. He is powerful. He's in control. He's a good father. He's my faithful friend. He's a chain breaker. He's merciful. He's kind. He's my healer. He's my provider. And in him, I'm guided, accepted, forgiven, loved, free, secure, healed. We could go on. Amen. He will lead me to the places I need to go and the ways that I need to be his mouth, his hands, his feet. And we often think or ask or ponder, what does God want me to do? Where does he want me to go? And this passage in Romans tells us that he wants us to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. Then we will know his will and plans for our lives. Amen. We pray to God, what should I do about this? Should I move here? Should I take that job? Should I go talk to that person? Should I pursue this dream? And I know that I've always found it easier to hear go than stay. Now, that might be interesting because others might find that they find it harder to go, harder to change. But again, it's our earthly perspectives. I've moved so much growing up that it's my normal to go and change. At 43 years old, I'm now living in my 30th home. But one day I will have my forever home with all of you and the ones that we love that have gone ahead. Pause. But I've only moved twice in the last 13 years. That's quite slow going. The world has shown me, worldly experiences have shown me that nothing lasts. Homes, families, friendships, marriages, none of it lasts. So just keep moving on. But I can honestly say that God has really worked in my life in that sort of way of thinking and transformed my mind as I choose to stay. Stay being married, stay in a job, stay with friendships that challenge me. Stay in Bromsgrove. Stay in this church. Stay with Jesus. And Many of you, I hope, love reading your Bible and do so regularly. Maybe you don't enjoy it. Maybe you love it. Maybe you do it daily, weekly. Maybe you can't remember the last time you sat and read your Bible. But we all know it's what we need. And God tells us it's his living word. Not only did God give us all creation to rule over and enjoy, give us his only son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us, give us the Holy Spirit as our forever helper, he also gave us this book of scriptures that will direct and encourage us in all of life. These are some amazing gifts, mind-blowing, life-changing, eternity-altering gifts. Are these the gifts that we desire? You don't need to put them on your birthday list or your Christmas list. On my 26th birthday, I was in Mozambique, and we went out and we fed and prayed for the people living in a rubbish dump. Then I played with the children in the orphanage. And then later, someone caught a chicken to prepare and cook for me for my birthday meal. And then in the evening, in a little courtyard, we had an extended time of worship and prayed for ages. It was a beautiful day. Still my most favourite birthday celebration. I was thankful for the one guy that could play a guitar. It was great. I maybe on my more recent birthdays, bearing in mind that's only 20 years ago, maybe I wouldn't have been so grateful for that day, because maybe sometimes now I get into a place where I might desire more worldly things to celebrate my birthday. But I tell you now, I was richer then than any materialistic desires could offer. I'm not saying tomorrow can be like that. I don't live in Mozambique. I'm not in that situation. But it's a reminder to me to enjoy being with God and his people, to enjoy serving together, to enjoy the purity and simplicity of how special it is to pray and worship together. 2 Timothy 31:17 talks about our need to use and live in the word of God. It's Paul's last instructions to Timothy after stating all the bad stuff that people will be doing in these times. He talks to Timothy about keeping on being faithful and remembering the scriptures. And I like this paraphrase, which I'm just going to read to you of that. Don't worry, it's not too long. But you, keep on track with your training. You're convinced, so carry on and be focused. You know where your coaching comes from. You've had the instruction manual since you were a toddler. It's oozing wisdom. It sorts you out. And when you take the liberator Jesus at his word, it's all straight from God's mouth, totally inspired. It's the only manual you need for coaching, counselling, correcting. If you want to be up and ready for every possible variation on doing the right thing, this instruction manual is the only book for you. I like that. I had a picture when praying for today. I was thinking about the narrow path. It says in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, that we should enter through the narrow gate, not the wide road that's more comfortable, but ultimately is a destructive way of life. And in this picture that I had, the narrow path was gorgeous. The sun was shining, well kept, but wildflowers around, a river, colourful, full of nature. And a little girl was walking along. And when she wobbled off the path, sort of all the creation around her just gently moved her back on the path, like when the sea moves little Moana, playfully keeping her safe, if you've watched the film Moana. Worldly influences here. Here we go. But there we go. The wide path has loads of different lights in this picture, but they were artificial lights. And so it was still dark. It was noisy. There was chaos. People all squeezed in, like getting in the busy tube in London. Everyone's packed in together, but alone, pretending to enjoy all the things they're doing. But there's this weight of sadness. And what stood out to me in that picture was light and then fake light, and how the world can only offer fake light in comparison to Jesus. Psalm 119 mentions the word of God being a lamp unto our feet and just little by little giving us what we need for that next step on that right path. If we're to walk the narrow path and not conform to the worldly ways and views, we will stand out as being different. I'm not sure that what I seek is to stand out for Jesus. Maybe we want to stand out for being the best at our job, the best at a sport, the best dressed for a party. But God wants us to stand out for being unlike the world, for being transformed by Jesus. I feel challenged in how to be different to the world, or what the world shows us we should do or we should have. But God has shown me it's not always instant and dramatic. It's in how we forgive, how we love, how we show up, how we serve, how we spend our time, how we give. The time that I felt most transformed in all of these ways was back in 2008. I did discipleship training school with YWAM. And if anyone wants to know more about that, speak to me, especially young people. Amazing to do something like that or similar. We spent 3 months in discipleship, 3 months serving alongside missionaries in third world countries. It wasn't just young people, by the way. I was actually one of the oldest at 25, but, you know, there were some older people. It was mostly young. But at Y1, we were expected to go to bed at a certain time, be up at a certain time, have an hour quiet time with our Bibles in the morning, have a small group prayer every day, have no alcohol, do chores for one another, go out and speak to non-believers every Friday night about Jesus, memorise Bible verses and attend the worship meetings. If you know me, you'll know I did not enjoy being told what to do. I can be stubborn, but don't worry, I met my match. He wins. But I didn't enjoy these rules at first. I thought, I'm not sure this is for me. I don't know about this crew. Maybe it's a bit religious to be so rigid with telling me what I need to do. I like to do things the way I want to do them. But I was transformed. Not because of the rules, but because I was spending time daily in my Bible, more than daily praying with other people, daily spending time in worship with others, daily writing a reflection, daily serving others and being served. I soon realised how all this was so good because it shifted my mindset. I was living in a close community that made it easier because it became like a different culture, how we lived together. It enabled transformation, lots of getting to know God and making him known, which is the motto of both YWAM and HCLC. So that was an amazing time. And it was that thing of it's day by day by day by day together. In the Old Testament, it talks about God providing fresh manna, daily fresh food for the Israelites in the wilderness. It's a picture to us of needing Jesus every day, our bread from heaven, a regular, fresh refueling from God, not storing it up to last. We need him every day. It made me think then about this time at YWAM, not relying on the investments made then. Or the youth recently at New Day, amazing, but not relying on that because we need every day a fresh filling and spending time with the Lord. We know we can't do it alone. We need each other, and God made us that way, which is both amazing and frustrating at times. But in this time preparing for today, I believe God is specifically saying that collectively, us reading our Bibles, he will transform us. So that we don't live in the world's culture, but in God's kingdom culture. That's where the transformation is. Our friends, our family, our work colleagues all rub off on us. They shape us and change us. We become part of the culture that we're in. We become like those we spend time with, right? This verse tells us not to conform, be transformed. It explains that we're always being formed. So you're either conforming or transforming, being renewed by God. One or the other is happening. So I was reminding of something I heard probably in a sermon 20 years ago. You can choose to be the thermometer or the thermostat. I don't know where I heard that, but I liked it. It stuck in my head. So you can either be the temperature of the room or you can decide to change the temperature, set the temperature. So who wants to be a thermometer, be the temperature of the room? Anyone? Who wants to be a thermostat? Change the temperature, set the temperature. Yes, I want to change the temperature. I want to be part of changing the culture. The friendships we hold, the habits we have, the things we watch, who we have in our homes, the places we hang out, the charities we invest in, the activities we choose to do. I want to bring them all to God and see his kingdom as our culture and all of those things. We all know that we're called to be salt and light in the world. We must live really well amongst our non-Christian friends, neighbours, colleagues. So important. But who do we choose to be like? Because we become like those we spend most time with. Where do we go? Who do we go to for counsel and wisdom? And we've all been in situations where we feel hurt, not valued, not loved or wanted. Doesn't feel good. Makes me want to respond in worldly ways. And I need God to transform my heart and mind with who he says I am and who he is to respond accordingly. Within our church here, I have friends that when I've been upset or been angry, I've texted to be an ear, or I've asked for their wise counsel. When I've had decisions to make about work or life, I've asked you to walk with me. When I've been in physical pain, you've prayed for me and paid for me. When I've messed up, I've had a husband to be there for me and choose God for us. When we've had times of loss and deep grief, you've prayed without me asking. You've given food and other gifts just to show God's kindness. All of these relationships help me be transformed because you reflect back to me who God is, who he says I am. So thank you. When we feel loved and valued, we behave differently. So let's be the team that egg each other on. Go on, you can do it. Let's declare God's promises over you. God's with you. He's taking that step ahead of you. If you need a moment to breathe, to recover, that's okay. We'll hold you. We'll speak truth over you. Don't worry. We've got your back. Keep going. Pass it to me if you need it. I'll carry it a bit of the way. I'll pray over it for you. You're trying to win. We'll help hold up your arms, and then we'll worship God in celebration with you when you win. We need this teamwork for transformation culture to be reminded that God, the creator of everything, oh, how he loves us. He wants us and he draws us in to love him in return. I've heard lots of preachers talk about seeking to look like Jesus to the world. I remember reading a quote of a Jewish blessing that was basically saying, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. So basically, because you're following this rabbi around so closely to learn more about God and the scriptures and how to live, the dust from his feet gets onto you and covers you, makes you dirty. Let us be covered in Jesus, soaked in his presence. So he is what we look like and smell like. Conforming to the world brings us a picture of being tainted and stained, heavy laden. So instead we come to God, be transformed and cleansed and forgiven, refreshed, renewed. We know we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We know in him we are washed white as snow. I also want to be dirty, covered in the dust of my rabbi, my Jesus. Pondering on dust, stay with me. There are lyrics to a song that I heard recently, and it goes, I'm not going to sing it, maybe one day. We've got dust on our Bibles and brand new iPhones, and we wonder why we feel this way, right? So I know many of us have the Bible on our iPhones, so don't get stressy. It's great to have it so accessible. We forget the blessing it is to have it at all, as many people don't even have access to the Bible. We just carry it around in our pockets. Amazing. But I've also found it massively distracting. There's always something else to pop up on the screen or to get my attention. So I personally think it's helpful to read the Bible away from your phone too. Memorizing scripture also helps transform us. It comes to mind then more easily in our life situations. Memory verse is not something I grew up with. I didn't grow up in the church, but again, had to do it at YWAM every week. And those verses continue to bless me in my life. We also had to memorize countries of the world to memorize too. And I know God got deeper into my heart through those two exercises. They weren't super spiritual, they were very practical. But these practices for that 6 months changed my spirit forever. Those memorized verses have helped, they've transformed me. And learning the countries and traveling then gave me a heart for the nations. I know that that time shaped me. And it is why we now give financially to various people in these other countries. It's why I'm a trustee of Medic Assist International. It's why I love to support Hands at Work and AMLU. It's why my heart beats faster when I see pictures of Africa or look at a world map. It shaped my walk with God and my love for his people massively because I was being transformed by that renewing of my mind. Okay, so maybe now all of this talk of not conforming to the world, you're feeling bad or maybe feeling guilty. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough, or you feel a bit overwhelmed. Maybe you feel a bit tired, apathetic. Or if you're like me, maybe you feel all of these things at once. It's true. But God is not saying, here, come on, put this job of transformation on the top of your to-do list. Get it done. Get all stressed out. Nor is he hitting you down because you've been too much in the world. You haven't done these things well. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And not conforming, but transforming brings us this freedom. He is inviting you to let him do the work in his power. Come to him. Stop with all the things that will lead you away from me, he says, in this world. And come be with me. Be with the fellow believers that love me. Be outside enjoying nature that I've created. And please spend some time reading my living words of love to you. My instructions, my inspiration to you. AKA the Bible, if you're not. Got that. And let the Holy Spirit light up the scriptures to you to feed you and lead you and encourage you each day. I get tired of myself. I get bored of myself quitting and failing and complaining. I'm sure my husband does too. Or doing the same old things and getting the same old results. I often feel the weight of not measuring up. The devil loves us to do this because then we get into a place of being more easily tempted by conforming to the worldly ways, looking for worldly things to soothe us. Wine, shopping, gossiping, binging TV, busying with jobs. And then when all that fails, tiredness and apathy. Then doing the things that we hate even more, and then it goes on. But we don't need to feel bad when we mess up. Obviously holding that intention with the need for repentance, for forgiveness. But I mean, God knows we mess up. He loves us anyway. And he says it's okay that we can't do it on our own. So if you feel lost or hurt or stuck, unsure, feeling the weight of the world, just pause and turn to Jesus. Don't think he's mad at you. It's his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. He doesn't poo-poo you saying you're a rubbish Christian, get down while I whip you. He says his mercy is new every morning. His grace is sufficient and it's okay that you need him. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. He tells us that we are weak without the Holy Spirit. He knows no matter how willing I am to change my ways, I can't do it alone. In Matthew 26, 41, it says, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I'm fiercely aware of this every time I try to lose weight. My spirit is willing, my body is weak. I want my earthly body to be fitter and stronger and slimmer, not to look good to others, maybe sometimes I do, but that's again a worldly perspective, but to live my life well. And so I'm in desperate need to be awake to my helper because my willpower is so weak, I give up so easily. I pray to be more like my husband with this. And I need you, Holy Spirit, to do that each step. A problem that I sometimes have, though, is not recognising that need, right? We don't recognise that that's what we need. We need him. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm bobbing along, doing all right on my own. I can go from one end thinking, I'm just the worst person, doing rubbish at everything, to, I'm all right, thanks, I'm living a good life, leave me alone. But, one, neither of those opinions are from God. And two, I'm not being left alone anyway. I'm being formed either way. So I have to choose which way I go. What I do or try to do when I'm bumbling along, not recognising my need for transformation, I think I'm all right till something happens, is check myself against the fruits of the Spirit. Then I'm very fiercely aware of how much I need the Holy Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Yes. Faithfulness, did anyone say? Gentleness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I failed in them all by about 8 a.m. I soon know that I've got to get thirsty for a refreshing from the Holy Spirit. So like Steve asked some of us to share this summer, we should also ask each other, what have you read this week that's challenged you, that's encouraged you? What's God said to you this week that's excited you? And if I or you say, oh, I haven't really read or prayed much this week, I've been so busy. Remember, we don't have to be beaten up. Being honest, it's in the light. You can have an encouraging arm around you and shoulder to turn to say, keep on keeping on. But speaking about being busy, back to the dusty Bibles that I mentioned earlier, the lyrics in that song go on to say, it's the problem of our nation and in this generation, we're too busy and just can't find the time. Are we too busy or is it just a lie? Now I feel busy. There are things I need to do and change to make this less so, but it has also become more culturally acceptable and almost desirable to be the most busy. Now, that's definitely not from God. That's worldly culture. And I say, no thanks. I have to say that every day, though. I get overwhelmed by all my to-do lists, all the ways that I'm contacted, text, phone, voicemail, WhatsApp, email, work email, Microsoft Teams, Facebook Messenger. Ah! I feel relieved when I get a letter because nobody knows I've had it, opened it, read it. I can breathe without expectation of an immediate reply. I totally believe the devil's using all of this and our busy lives as a way to keep us overwhelmed and then apathetic. It feeds into the ability to be present too. I don't know if you can relate, but I'm often not great at being present. I reflect a lot on the past. I dream a lot about the future. I think about all the things I need to do. But right here, right now, I get distracted, okay? But I want to be present and hear from God and be in his presence. But unless I'm in worship, my head's just full of distraction. The devil's crafty plan. Just as we say to the children, you can't go on your tablet for more than an hour a day. No, you can't have a mobile phone. Or to the older ones that do have phones, no, you can't take it to bed with you. And this is all good parenting, right? But I need to parent myself. I need to put my phone to bed. I need to turn the TV off, allow myself non-contactable time when I'm only contactable by the Holy Spirit, alone with God, alone with the Bible that's not on my phone. I'm on the last page. Okay. If you feel the same as me, let's help each other up. Or if you're thinking, I don't struggle with this at all, actually, I have my daily quiet time, prayer, I memorise the scriptures, I'm disciplined with my time, then that's great. Please encourage me. Tell me about it, because there will be people here that that's true for. Challenge me to do the same. Share it with other people. As a midwife, I always tell people, please share your positive birth stories, because all we hear about is the difficult ones, which is important too, but we desperately need to hear about when it's going well. So if you're doing all these things, tell me, challenge me, encourage me. If you're doing a lot of what I'm talking about, boast only in Jesus. Encourage us in his ways. Disciple me. Challenge me to disciple others. God doesn't want us to think back just to the good old days when God seemed to be more tangible to me, more at the centre, more powerful, when that was, whether it was 20 years ago, whether it was at YWAM or at New Day, or when you served in youth groups, or when you were going through this hard time and he really showed up. Let's not be nostalgic with God's work in our lives. In Philippians 1:6, it says, "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." So let's be filled today, tomorrow, and go on to choose with our hearts and minds and spirit to be transformed. Maybe when you finished a piece of work, or you stop to have a cup of tea, or you arrive at your destination, you first wake up in the morning, instead of turning to that space-filling phone scroll, try checking in. "Hey, Lord, I'm choosing to not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Help me." When you're physically hungry, thirsty, tired, what do? You eat, you drink, you sleep. I need to work on the sleeping part, I know. But let's recognise when we are spiritually hungry and thirsty and tired and come to him to be fed from his living word, refreshed with the living water, and rest a while in his presence. So I'm going to pray to end. You might be thinking, phew, I don't know how long I was going on for. And then after I've prayed, I've asked if Jake, who's now Josh, transformation, will play a song that I wanted to share with you. Is that still okay? Okay. All right, then let's pray. We love your presence, Lord. It's here that we find rest and peace. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be with you, to be a child with their father, a sinner with their saviour, a bride with their groom. King Jesus, help us have eyes to see where we conform to and step into worldly ways, and help us to look up to you, to where our help comes from. We know your ways are not ours. Help us to receive transformation by soaking in your living word and presence each day, all to fulfil your purposes for us on this earth. For your glory. Amen.